All right, everybody, welcome back. We got another episode of the Crypto Rundown here on the Crypto 101 podcast. Gonna be a fun one today. Obviously, we like to do these things when big market events occur. And something big is happening. We kind of get some of the brightest minds here in the cryptoverse together to see what's going on. And guys, the Ripple decision was what I call a landmark decision. I mean, this has been fought since December of 2023. This is going on 3 years of some of the brightest legal minds fighting, you know, the man, fighting the regulatory agency known as the SEC. And they won. Guys, this is like, I don't know, there's probably a good analogy, but this is like when the Bears won the 87 Super Bowl. I mean, nobody saw it coming. I don't even know if that happened. But Tebow, there's got to be some good sports.
It's Rocky.
Everybody thought he was going to be down, but he's here. So we're joined.
We did it.
We're joined, as always, by super producer Tebow and Pizza Mind. How's it going?
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Life's good over here in Sao Paulo. It's nothing but a big party full of burgers and pizza everywhere.
Okay, man. Good stuff. And the future of the generations, Brendan Veeman, the bright-eyed analyst. How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. I like that intro. We need to use that more often.
The future, the bright-eyed analyst, Brendan. No, yeah, I think that's good shit, man. I mean, there's been a lot that we've been talking about. You know, we get together every day and talk, so we're like, we might as well just record this and put it on. But yeah, the XRP decision, we're going to dive into some specifics around there, but just to set the agenda here after we discuss that, we're going to talk really about how the Bitcoin ETF is moving forward. We've got some dates as well that we kind of wanted to talk about, some dates showing you guys when some of those filings, the deadlines are, a couple of the companies that are really big players there, and really how the whole market's going to be affected by this going forward. So if that sounds good, we'll go ahead and dive in. So as you guys know, Ripple, you know, coming off the back of a legendary win, what basically showed that the SEC was wrong in their allegations against Ripple being selling this unregistered security. So you have to differentiate between Ripple, the company, and XRP, the token. And basically they said that you have to differentiate between the token and an investment contract. So a token in and of itself is not a security. In order for that token to become a security, it needs to be accompanied by an investment contract where the buyer and the seller have some sort of agreement between them. In the case of XRP going to an open market like Coinbase and just selling XRP tokens on the market programmatically did not constitute a securities transaction. Again, this is not legal advice, full disclosure. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just interpreting a lot of different information here. But I think that's really important to understand. That, you know, this now goes to show that a lot of other crypto companies or crypto protocols that do sell tokens programmatically or traders like you and I, right, that trade, you know, these tokens, you know, there's no agreement between a buyer and a seller. It's just, you know, trading on Coinbase, right? And that puts Coinbase in the clear, I think, or it sets their path with a lot less resistance, if you will, because one of the tenets of this case from the SEC against Coinbase is that they're an unregistered securities exchange. And with this, you know, now as case law, you know, a lot of the tokens, a lot of the trading activity isn't securities. So a lot of their point falls flat. So if that's the first kind of jumping off point, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think this is a great thing for the industry altogether, because literally every team sets aside a team portion of tokens of the total amount to fund their operations, essentially. And if Ripple had been found guilty of, you know, selling unregistered securities into the open market, every single other cryptocurrency ever would be just as guilty as well. So now this puts the entire industry in the clear, which really needed to happen. Otherwise, you know, the SEC was going to make like half of crypto's market cap in fines.
Yeah, I mean, whether you love XRP or you hate it, this is a win for the entire industry. And when the SEC came out a couple of months ago and said that they wanted to investigate BNB, Solana, Matic, Cardano, Filecoin, Cosmos, Sand, Mana, you know, the list goes on. They had this big list of new tokens that they wanted to go after. And we were nervous. We didn't know what would happen with XRP, but now XRP won. So it gives us, you know, quite a bit of hope for all these other tokens that they're going to go after. And hopefully it at least,
or that they won't go after them. Yeah. They'll have to go after them, maybe.
I mean, they probably won't, because they're going to have to pick their battles a lot more intelligently before just going after this. And
yeah,
again, love them, hate them, we've had our drawbacks about XRP in the past, but I think we can all agree that this sets a really good precedent for the entire crypto industry.
Yeah, no, I think it's exactly what we need. I think the SEC should go back to their core competencies, start focusing on not trying to make policy, but trying to regulate the laws and go after fraud and bad actors and market manipulators. Don't go after Coinbase, who is like the golden child of the industry that tries to do everything right and, like, you know, try and stymie an entire industry. It's kind of ridiculous. So I think moving forward, I mean, the industry, you know, absolutely has a lot less resistance to adoption. We have more clarity. I could see many, you know, companies or, basically, there was a whole, you know, wall of capital that wanted to move into crypto, but they needed regulatory clarity. So now that we get that sort of clarity, you can now have new projects start that were not going to start before because they were too scared, right? You now have new projects that are going to be emerging and capitalizing, right? Raising capital and starting to innovate, because now it's not freaking deemed potentially illegal to do so. So this just, you know, blows open the doors of the imagination of the public, right? So I'm excited to see from this ruling, in the wake of it, what gets invented, you know, what starts to actually hit the open market, and what new venues are there going to be trading, all that kind of stuff. So what else gets you excited about this? Is there any new sort of projects that you see that might have been stopping because of this, or, you know, does this, you know, kind of open your guys' imagination a little bit? See both you guys nodding your head.
Oh yeah. The one thing that really excites me is the key driver for the 2017 bull run of a lifetime may just have a sequel, and that's ICOs.
ICOs 2.0.
ICOs 2.0, and the 2.0 version is called the IEO, the initial exchange offering, and sometimes used IDO, initial decentralized exchange offering. And let me explain why. In this legal ruling that the judge made, he was basically saying that there was no way for a buyer to know that they were trading with tokens that were coming directly from Ripple, and therefore could not say that their funds were going to fund Ripple's operation. So what that means is any company now could essentially just give some tokens to the exchange to sell on their behalf, or airdrop a certain amount of tokens to whomever. Now they don't control the entire supply. Now the market could be filled with tokens from whomever. There's now that doubt that it's not going back to this one direction. And now you can have basically this offering again. So we're going to see, I think, the next generation of ICOs once again. And that's going to be a massively wild altcoin season at some point.
It could, yeah, it might not have necessarily a name quite right yet, if it's going to be IEOs or IDOs or something of that, you know, some kind of new variation, but it'll be as big as, like, you know, yield farming and liquidity mining, right? Which ushered in DeFi summer of 2020. And it'll be as big as airdrops, which was another sort of, you know, big, you know, distribution mechanism for all this stuff. But a lot of airdrops got stopped because they were like, well, is it a security? Is it not a security? Like, but that's not, you know, as far as I interpret this new law, that's not, you know, a violation of anything. It's like, hey, you're just, you know, giving these tokens away freely, and it's a distribution mechanism. There's no expectation of profit. There's no, you know, it doesn't fulfill all three rungs of the Howey test. So bam, you know, start to bootstrap, you know, engagement on a platform or an application that way. And so there is going to be, you know, all sorts of new stuff. So yeah, man, this is really big. This gives us a whole new runway. What do you think, Brendan?
Yeah, I mean, think about how many projects were waiting on the sidelines for regulatory clarity. And now we have that. And so with this bear market, the two main things that I saw everyone, a general consensus, is that they wanted XRP to win their case and thus produce more regulatory clarity. We just got that. And the other thing was, we were waiting to see if a Bitcoin ETF could get approved. And we're now seeing that across the globe. And with it, every major financial institution that has any kind of significant amount of money wants to get in. It's happening in North America. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in Asia. It's happening in Australia now. And so that kind of like begs the question where we're at here, because at least from my perspective, those were the two events that I heard from our communities of what people were waiting to see. And now we finally have it. So it kind of begs the question, what's next from here?
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, it's like you mentioned, I mean, we have multiple $1 trillion firms that are now trying to get a Bitcoin ETF. You've got Invesco, which is $1.5 trillion. You've got Fidelity, which manages something like, you know, $3 or $4 trillion with, like, you know, tens of trillions under custody. You've got, you know, Wisdom Tree, which is about $100 billion fund. BlackRock, obviously the big horse in the room now, $9 trillion of assets under management. I mean, this is opening up the floodgates. All these brokerage accounts, retirement accounts, pensions, endowments, you know, mutual funds, that, you know, they all need an ETF like structure in order to, you know, buy Bitcoin that tracks relatively well with the market. And, you know, this is a absolutely, you know, really big time, and it legitimizes the industry, as you have more trust, more liquidity, more transparency that the ETFs provide. So this is a tidal shift in the crypto market. It's a great time to be here. But yeah, outside of the Bitcoin ETF, outside of the Ripple decision, to me, you know, there's things that are unfolding, like with what's going on in the, you know, ETH DeFi ecosystem with Uniswap V4, with MakerDAO becoming now 80% backed by real world assets, no longer just, you know, backed by Ethereum or backed by USDC. You know, Synthetics coming out with a whole new user interface to make, you know, derivatives trading on chain super easy. I mean, there's a million different new interfaces that are coming online, more usability. So to me, it just feels like all the stars are starting to align, and it's all leading into the Bitcoin halving. And JP Morgan did a report maybe a couple months ago about the Bitcoin halving and how it uniquely kind of rearranges a person's psychology. When you realize that the floor price of the Bitcoin halving makes the floor price essentially double, right? If you have currently now the cost of production for Bitcoin right around $20,000, it's about to get twice as hard, and you're about to get, you know, a lot less Bitcoin for every, you know, hashing sort of function that you run. So the floor price of Bitcoin is actually projected to be $40,000 right when the halving occurs, right? right, in April of 2024. So $40,000 from, you know, less than a year away, I mean, 9 months, bringing Bitcoin up from 30,000 to 40,000. I mean, that's some serious return potential. But that's just a floor price, right? We've seen that historically the price of Bitcoin trades well above that floor price during bull markets. And so we do have a lot of promise, and it seems like, you know, again, all stars are aligning on the regulatory front, on the economic front. You know, inflation's coming down. You got interest rates starting to, you know, reach the top. You know, the end is in sight. You know, most people are saying between 2 and 4 basis points. 2 and 4 rate hikes maximum, maybe 100 basis points left to hike. But we're not staring down the barrel of, you know, 500 basis points over the course of a year. We're not staring down the barrel of rapidly rising inflation. No, we're on the back half of all that bad news. So to me, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of good things on the near-term horizon.
Yeah, I'll chime in from like a social sentiment standpoint. I always kind of bring up when I started, because I'm approaching a year with you guys, which has been, you know, an awesome year. But we go back to, like, I was 6 weeks in, and this Sam Bankman-Fried guy takes over the news cycle, and, you know, I knew who he was, and then obviously I learned a lot more about FTX and that collapse, and that whole news cycle from there was Bitcoin's a fraud, crypto is evil. That took over the news cycle. And then in comes, you know, Gary Gensler of, you know, and Elizabeth Warren and the anti-crypto army crew.
And I
have CNBC on in the background, or Fox News Business, just, you know, while I'm working, just to see if there's any crypto segments that I might want to clip or chase down. And I remember after that happening, everything was so negative. Like, it was so negative to the point where my parents, who are not crypto literate or much financial literate, I remember my mom asking me, be like, hey, like, this crypto guy's on Good Morning America, like, do you still have a job? Like, is it still a thing? And it's the classic thing on the flip side where, Bryce, I remember you saying, like, hey, when my friend of a friend's aunt is asking if she should buy Bitcoin, it's time to sell. And so, right, it was the opposite side of negativity, and I was like, damn, like, I even back in my head, I'm like, is this thing going down? And wildly enough, slowly but surely, like, that news cycle faded away. Gary Gensler, I think, has been the face of, and Elizabeth Warren, but really Gensler has been the face of anti-crypto, because I think he was so close to Sam Bankman-Fried down in D.C. But right, I wonder if he turns into almost like an Icarus figure, where he leading this charge of, you know, trying to brush this out because he thinks it's what everybody wanted, but he's one pay stub below the people that are making these decisions, and it's going to turn on him. And all these, you know, big firms want crypto now if they can get their hands on it and run it the right way to make money for them. I just see the sentiment changing from a non-technical perspective, from CNBC to the internet, and just people, you know, making quotes and having takes. And, you know, it was not that long ago that JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon says, you know, Bitcoin's a pet rock and I have more use for toilet paper than Bitcoin. And then now, but yet his firm, you just said JP Morgan's putting out reports of Bitcoin halving. So a little bit talking out of both sides of the mouth there.
That's a really good point. Like, is Gary Gensler going to tell Larry Fink of BlackRock, hey, come in and register?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah. I mean,
he's going to get licked away.
Right. He, you got to kind of remember who, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you. And I wonder, because I remember Gary Gensler was funny. Like, nobody ever gets ratioed, I think, in the history of Twitter as much as that guy does. Any account that, you know, whether it's him or a handle or tweets, the guy gets ratioed out of control. But I do wonder if there's a mental aspect of, he's kind of been in the limelight since the pandemic. Since the crash of 2020 in the stock market, he was in his little office or house with a fireplace and people were making fun of him to get back in the office. I remember that. But I think he's gotten used to this news cycle and kind of pictured himself, or whatever his mental monologue is, of being a hero. And I do wonder if he's not going to get the memo and ends up kind of being a, you know, sacrificial lamb at the end of this as crypto gets ushered in, you know, hopefully for the United States to be leaders in the space.
Yeah, I could see it unfolding exactly in that direction. One thing I've learned is you don't want to go up against Bitcoin. The 14-year chart will show you that anybody in the long term who has tried to stop this thing has lost. This thing started at $0.00 and is now
you know, $30 or $30,000. And it's been around for 14 years and it's gotten adoption in every single country. And you were small-minded to think you can stop this most decentralized sort of contraption that's ever existed. And so I think that, you know, people like Gensler will be humbled in due course, already starting to see the beginnings of that. People like Elizabeth Warren will be humbled in due course. And a lot of people are taking their medicine, right? I mean, Larry Fink seems to be like the guy who's now on Fox Business and CNBC, again, 2 years ago saying Bitcoin is an index for money laundering, and now saying Bitcoin is an international asset to hedge, you know, currency fluctuations and you know, currency depreciations and stuff. You know, I mean, shit, man, it's about time you got on. But hey, better late than never. So it's great to see, you know, really the fabric of the traditional financial institution kind of world start to change their tone, change their mind, and just in time, right? Just in time, like I said. So yeah, so those are the things that I've been thinking about. Anything else that you guys been thinking about?
I just saw a Larry Fink quote today that said that crypto will transcend traditional currencies, and he made sure to include in there even the US dollar. So I just wanted to kind of echo that. Like, his perspective has done a complete 180. And over the past 14 years that we've known Bitcoin, it's been declared dead 474 times, if not more than that. And
oh, way more than that, yeah.
Just according to the, like, the official, I'm sure you guys have seen it, the official.
Oh yeah, the Bitcoin obituaries.
It's an amazing place.
Wait, there's an official counter, like online? Okay.
Yeah, you can see.
Yeah, Google Bitcoin obituaries and it'll come up. Tracks like headlines.
You can see the price that Bitcoin was declared dead at, and then it links the article that declared Bitcoin dead over the last 14 years. And it's amazing. And despite all of this,
400. Sorry. Go ahead, Brendan. Finish thought.
No, I was just going to say, despite all of this, Bitcoin has never gone offline. It's never failed. We haven't seen Bitcoin's mainnet go down. It's still running. It's still climbing in price. It's like Bryce said, it's just defeated everyone. It's proved all the haters wrong.
Yep. So we're at 474. The most recent is April 22nd, 2023. Crypto is dead in America. And then the oldest obituary is December 15th, 2010. Why Bitcoin can't be a currency.
I wonder where that guy who wrote that article is today.
It's like, who was that one famous investor? Shouldn't have even brought it up if I didn't know off the top of my head. He's famous. He said that the fax machine or the internet will have no more of a because the internet will have no more of an impact than the fax machine or something like that. And he's like super anti crypto.
Paul Krugman.
Yeah,
Paul Krugman.
Paul Krugman. Poor prediction.
He's always dooming out.
2005, it'll become clear the internet's impact on the economy will be no greater than the fax machine.
2005, dude. Like,
shout out Paul.
So this is the same, you know, class of character that is like saying crypto is not going to have any impact, and nobody ever wants to use crypto because who wants to fax things? It's like, dude. Whoa, gotta check yourself before you wreck yourself again.
Imagine all, and this is just a general statement for the market of crypto and stock market, really. Like, you know, that there's that saying, it's sell in May and go away. That was not a good way to look at it this year. I mean, if you got rid of your bags, or, you know, didn't get invested in the market in May, and you're sitting here, you know, halfway through the summer, you missed out on a lot.
Yeah, no, this has been a great summer. I mean, man, who was going to see BlackRock come into the market just in the dead of summer, June 14th, June 15th? You know, everybody's away from the desk, markets are illiquid, and this thing pops 30% in like just a couple days. Incredible stuff. And then yeah, like the Ripple decision, moving that $25 billion pretty much in just 4 hours. So big week. Boys, thank you for joining as always. Crypto Rundown.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.